So the Mishnah had said that Rabbi Shimon holds that even by walnut trees, by the smooth walnut trees, the owner of the field takes the produce down and divides it up rather than allowing the poor people to fight while climbing up a tree, because that's safe. And if you want to know why he was given to this, because there was a story where five brothers died trying to climb five trees. Now, I don't know, right? So it could be that this was specifically getting Peah, which is the stay Yoshua. It's also possible that this was just he saw a bunch of children die trying to climb a walnut tree and said, you know, this is not a safe tree, and this has nothing to do with Peah, just as a manifestation of Peah. The Rambam in Paskins against Rabbi Shimon, the Kaftor of Erech Paskins liked Rabbi Shimon. Now, the Gemara doesn't explain why the Tanakhama is not worried about the apparently very dangerous walnut trees. So maybe he thought that it wasn't that dangerous. Right, or maybe they're actually arguing about the drasha of Katsir, of how much it excludes, right? Whether the drasha is from Katsir or Atem, right? Where it's right. So the Katsir drasha had said that it's any tree that a katan and gadol can't, right, don't have equal control over. So this is not a tall tree, but if you think it's about atem, right, where it's more about the danger, so maybe that, okay, fine. So the Gemara says, balabayit shekar shem peya v'chila. What if you have a balabayit who calls, right, who designates peya, and then he cuts the whole field? Kora ani alav, so we say about him, lo tichale pa'ad sadcha b'kutzrecha. So there are many different ways of understanding all the Gemara we're about to read. Okay, personally, I think the easier way to read the way of the following Gemara is the way the Gra reads it, which is that he thinks that the Gemara now has three separate dionim. While others like the Rosh Cirilio say that the long piece of Gemara we're going to read is one continuous, thing. So maybe let's start with the continuous one because it's the harder to understand. The Gra is actually very easy, so the Gra will be easy for us to, once we read it through once, to then say, no, the Gra said differently. Okay, so how do you read it as one sugya? So, what does it mean that I say about him, lo techala pa'atz tzadecha? No, you know what? Let's start with the easy one, right? Let's start it with three separate ones, okay? So, the Gra is the clearest, I think, in this way. The Pnei Moshe is a version of this, right? So, halacha one is, if the balabayit calls peya and then he cuts everything down, he violates a lav of lo techale pa'at sadecha. Okay? Isser one. Make sense? Right? Don't cut down the field. If you do, you violate a lav. Two, lo kara shem peya v'chila, if he didn't call it peya and he cut down the whole field, so kara ni alav lo techale pat sadecha pikutzrecha. He also violates the lav, even though you would have thought that he wouldn't have. Why would you have thought that he wouldn't have? Because he didn't finish the katir, right? If he called it peya and then cut it down, he cut down the peya. So you might have said, that's us, sir. But if he failed to leave the peya, he didn't violate it. Kamash Malan, he did. Why? Bikutrecha. Because in the process of doing katsira, you shouldn't cut down the entire corner. Hitnu b'nehen. So now, okay. The Rosh Tirilio, on the other hand, as I said, has a totally, totally different peresh, and he says like this. What does that mean? That if he violated the halacha and didn't, and cut down the corner, it doesn't change the halacha. He still needs to leave the corner. Meaning that this is going back to the previous halacha, which is peah about dividing it up to the aniyim? Or about giving to them. The Rosh says, even if you violate the halacha of cutting down the whole field, and now it's reverted to peah ba'omarin, to peah in cut sheaves rather than in the standing produce, you must leave it for the poor to collect, rather than divide it up, even though it is now collected sheaves. What is the next line? Lo karashem peah v'kila, karaniv lo techala patzadecha bekudzrecha. Even if I didn't call it peah at all, right? So possibility one is I named it as peah when it was standing, and therefore you might have said, well, the chiyuv of ta'azov took effect on the standing thing, and then I cut it down. So obviously that's ta'azov. But what if I'm even a bigger Russia, and I cut down the whole thing, so it never was peah b'omar, and it was only ever peah become, right, peah bit talush, peah in sheaves, you might have thought that that halacha is different and that then you divide it up to the aniyim rather than leave it to them, kamash malan? No, you still have to leave it to them. That's case two. So now let's look at case three. Okay, now go back to the Gemara. Hitnu b'neihem. If all the poor people made a condition between themselves and they divided that, and they agreed that the owner would divide it amongst them rather than let them fight it out up in the tree or whatever. Afilu kein ein shomen lahem. No, sorry, other way. This is the reverse case, right? In the cases where you're supposed to let the balabayit divide it because it's the dangerous trees. So even if they, we don't listen to them. Balabayit yechalek biyado. Why? Shelo yirel ani modato v'yashlim lifanav. One second. Right, we don't listen to them, but in that case, he is mechalek. Equally, why? So it doesn't look like he's trying to benefit his poor friend by, like, you know, I'm coming down from the tree, right? I'm equally leaving it for everyone, and then, like, he throws it down all in one direction, right? No, once he's engaging in the division, he has to divide it. He brings it down and divides it equally, right? So it doesn't look like he's throwing it all at one person, which would be four of Harama. The Rosh Tirilio says, Hidnum bin Ayam, which is, if the poor people agreed, in the case when the Balabayit was Mechala Sadehu, right? He cut down everything. Afilu kein ein shomen lo. We don't listen to the poor person who wants to just, you know, leave it. Rather, the Balabaya divides it. Shlo yirel ani matatav yashlich lefanav. Because of the marit ayin, right? It would look like he's throwing it specifically to his friends. Now, again, the Gra, as we said, understood it in three cases, but this case of Hitnu b'neihem, he explains differently. He says that im hitne balabayit, let me read the Gra. Right, the Gra says that Perish, Balabayit, Hitnam, Aniyam, Shigachu, Echelahem, Uyutem, Lahem, Achirim, Tachle, Betalush. If the Balabayit says, listen, let me make a deal with you. I'm going to take all the payah and I'll give you other money. Ain Shomen Lo. Right? That doesn't work. It doesn't work. Right? He gives them payah, and their payah is patur from maisrot, and his remains chayev. Right? He can't transfer the status of payah to other produce. And again, right, that seems to be some sort of remnant of ta'azov. Right? That even when you're actually dividing it, just because you're dividing it doesn't mean it's a netina. Right? It's a netina which is acting as a naziva, and therefore you don't have the right to say, well, I'm giving it to you, so why don't you just trade? Right, no, I'm giving you this, because in the end of the day, I don't have rights over it, right? That's how I would suggest the Gram reads it. Okay. Whew. Rishmuel bar Avdumi boy. Rishmuel bar Avdumi asks. Now again, there are various other perushim, but that's like two-ish. Okay, two and a half. Kila etzadeh, if I finish cutting the whole thing, at Omar chazra peyel omarin, so then as we've seen, you become chayiv in giving peyah from the sheaves, afilu kein balabayit mechalek biyado, shaliran lani modata vishloich lefanav. So the Gemara says, well, in that case, so according to some of Farshim, this is a question, right, which is in such a case, so do you divide it or do you leave it, right? Is it only that you divide it when you have to take it down and give it out, or even when you happen to be stuck with that? What's the halacha? And again, how this links with the previous case is a little bit complicated, but okay. Next Mishnah. Not al miktzad apeh v'zarek al ashar. So now we talk about cases where the poor person himself tries to mess over everybody else. Okay? So if he took some peyah, and then he took his peyah, and he threw it on the other peyah to try to acquire all the peyah for himself. Ein lo ba klum. That doesn't work. Good, so that's a machloket. Whether that means he doesn't get the new stuff, or we're kones him, and he doesn't get anything, which we're going to see that throughout these cases. Nafalo alea. If he fell on it, upiris talito alea, and took his cloak and just covered it, we remove him from it. Now some say it's the Beit Din removes him, or some say it means we take the pay away from him. V'chein meleket, same thing as leket, v'chein be'omer ashichicha, right, so this is true of other now the Mefarshim ask why, right? There's a general rule that by aniyam hapech becharara, that when a poor person is trying to get something, he has basically the right to try to get it, and he doesn't have to worry about other people getting it. So why isn't that true here? So the Mefarshim say, well, what are you talking about, right? By the matar aniyam, everyone has equal rights to it, right? He can't just do that. It's one possibility. Other people say that the limitation of aniyam hapech becharara, that you're not supposed to stop a poor person from, you know, taking laying claim to that which he is laying claim to, is only by mekach u'memkar, but this is just a different type of halacha. Okay, there's all types of answers, but it's a bit of a longer daf. Tani b'shem rei meir, konsin bo. Right, this is a kenas. Umotzin menu atalish vet adam achubar. Right, so this was your question, was what does it mean that he doesn't get it? Does it mean he doesn't successfully have a kinyan on the new stuff, but he still has the old stuff? Or is it so egregious that he did this that we take everything away from him? And Remeir says, right, so the way the Rastorilio Marafulda understand him is what he's saying is that he loses everything. Now, some say he's disagreeing with the Mishnah, and some say he's being mafarish the Mishnah. Right, so some say the Mishnah holds that it was a non-Kinyan, but it's not a Kenas, and therefore he only loses. Exactly. And in which case, Josh's question is the machloket Tanakama and Rabbi Meir, and others say, and this is another possibility raised by the Rosh Hashanah and Maraful, the Gra, the Rajba, the Ran, because the sugya comes up in both Mitzvah. So some say, again, he argues, and some say he's clarifying. So either everyone agrees that he loses everything, or the Tanakama says he doesn't lose everything. Good. So the Rosh really Marful de Gras all say he's interpreting, and the Rajba, the Rosh and Minchat Chinuch raises this possibility, say that he is that he is arguing, and then you have two positions. Now, it is worth noting there's a further machloka in the Mefarshim, whether that means he loses that which he had, but we don't stop him from coming back and taking more matnanim, or it's like, you're barred from here this year. Goodbye, you are a bad, right? We don't like you. You broke the rules, come back next year, right? You can't, you lost what you had, you didn't acquire new, you can't try again. Starve? I don't know. I don't know exactly what you're telling a poor person. Yeah. Anyways, so ad kidon mazit. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. I get it that you're konizim if he did it on purpose. What about not? So the Gemara says, and now there is a very important machloket, whether the next line is a statement or a question. I know. Cry. It's the Yerushalmi. No, but it's very simple. It's afilu shole geg vafilu kricho. So is it a statement that even when he does it by accident, right, or even... when he did it, krichot, which is he threw like small ones on it, and it doesn't look like he's trying to uproot the system. We're not kones, right? I mean, one possibility is it's a question. The other is it's a statement that we always are goes there because he might be marim. He might do harama, right? I mean, because we're worried that he might pretend, oh, I didn't know the halacha, and therefore we're kones. The other one, it's a question, is are we, right? And this is a machloka in the Mefarshim, the Marafolda. It says it's a question. The Rosh Shirilia, Pnei Moshe, the Gras say it is a statement. Some say that well, there's really multiple perishim. Because some say Shogig is a statement, some say Shogig is a question. Some say that Shogig is a statement, but Krichot is a question. Some say Krichot is also a question. Right? So every possibility that you could think of is in the Sugya. I know you're shocked. I know you're shocked. Yes? Yeah. Like this Kenas thing, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's presumably within the Kenas, right? It's because normally you'd say we only do a Kenas by Mazit, but do I have to be worried and apply it even, etc. Okay, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Bishem Rabbi Abba Kohen Bardalia, or Bardula in some Gersot, Adam Zoche Bimitzia Betoch Arba Amot Shalom. So now the Gemara goes on to a Kenyan question, which is going to be related to this, which is that there is a Kenyan Arba Amot, which is discussed in the first paragraph of Mitzia, that if something is within my four Amot, It is mine. Ma ta'am, what's the source? Again, right, ma ta'am means the source in Yerushalmi. It's a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, which I know you know by heart. V'ine v'anyi hachinoti levet Adonai zahav kikarim mea elef v'kesef elef alafim kikarim v'nachoshev l'barzel in mishkal kilarov haya v'etzim v'avanem hachinoti v'alev tosif. So Shlomo says, I prepared all this gold, all this silver, blah, 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 for the Beit HaMikdash. Now, what does this have to do with Kinyan Arba Avot? Sorry, this is David HaMelech. David HaMelech saying what he prepared, not Shlomo what he had, but David what he prepared. What does this have to do with it? So the problem is like this, is he just talked about this massive wealth that he had. Gold, silver, talents of gold and silver, precious stones, valuable wood. And yet, what is the odd man out in this pasuk? On ye, in my poverty. What? Right? What is the poverty? So what's the answer? Let's see if you could have figured this one out. Nope. It's that they understand it is he was using a Kenyan Arba Amot, and then he immediately was Makdish it. So he's like, right, as I was walking by this, he would come into my property, I would give it to the Beit HaMikdash, and therefore I was poor, even though all this money was coming in, it was like it never even entered my hand. It was like in my four Amot and boom, right, in my four Amot, boom, right, to the Beit HaMikdash.
Like Henry Ford, like
a supply chain?
No, assembly line.
Right, exactly. And it's only because of Kenyan Arba Amot, right, that he was basically able to never... I owned it, but I was never rich because, like, it was never even in my hands. It was like, I walk by the gold, it is mine But I will not take it. Exactly. Okay.
I lose all the gold to the base.
So now the Gemara says, okay, let's try to figure this out. Rabbi Yona Amar, Rabbi Hoshaya Boy, please explain this to me. Manan Kayamin. How does this work? In Bitoch Arba Amot, he says, no, that doesn't work. If it was in my four Amot, Asher Hu, then he's rich because it became his, even if he then gave it to the Mikdash. In Bechutz Arba Amot, the age of the Mikdash of Shalom, he says, no, that doesn't work. This Drasha doesn't work. If it was within his four Amot, then he was rich for a time. And he was donating to the Beit HaMikdash, not from a place of poverty, but from a place of wealth. And if it wasn't within four Amot, then it wasn't his, and then he couldn't be Makdash. You don't get to do that, one way or the other. So the Gemara says, no. No, it's because, as we said before, that he didn't wait for it to be all his. It was that. Now, the Marfold asked the obvious question. He says, okay, but once it's happening like that, so why do you need Kinyan Arba Amot? Why don't you say he picked it up, did a Kinyan Hagbah, and then he gave it to the Beit HaMikdash. Picked it up, gave it to the Beit HaMikdash. You could do the exact same thing with a Kinyan Hagbah. You don't need the magic of Kinyan Arba Amot. So the Mepharshim say, and you're not going to find this so compelling, which is... yeah, that's basically what he says. The Marfold is a she'ein svar alomar shevim gemid chelot and a revot kigar zev and a choshed. Not mistaber. Too much gold, too much silver. It wouldn't happen. Right, and he says, what's the pasuk? So basically, if it hadn't been for the pasuk, what would we have thought that David did was that he took all this money, put it in his treasury, and then made a donation. But because of the bi'anyi, we learn that he never even allowed it to be his, he was automatically makdish it. Now, in classic Yerushalmi fashion, that's how most Mepharshim understand it. The Gra understands it the exact opposite of what the Marafolda said is not mistaber. The Gra says, oh, come on, this is not a proof. Maybe he was going to begin Nagbah, and then he donated it to the Beit HaMikdash, and that's called Be'anyi. So the Gra says, no, this is not part of the proof. This is part of the rejection of the proof. Which is, why do you think that you could prove from here that it was Kinyan Arba Amot? No, he picked up every piece of gold and he gave it to the Beit HaMikdash. That's why he stayed poor. Yes. I know. You're going to miss. It's every time you look at Bavli, you miss the Yerushalmi's, as my Yerushalmi Chavrusa calls it, three-dimensional underwater chess. Right? It's like, there are too many moving pieces, and I feel disoriented, and I can't quite breathe. You know, that's basically how the Yerushalmi feels. Right? It's like, I don't really know what's going on anymore. Right? It means either this or the opposite, or neither. What? How did that even happen? Right? Do you remember that first sugya in the Yerushalmi we did in Shviat? And I gave it to you, and I'm like, pay attention to the psukim. Look, they quote six different psukim. Yeah. They change the girsa over and over again. So how are you supposed to know what it means? Nobody knows, right? Yeah. Now, should I make it worse for you?
Yes.
Okay, good. All of the portion we've seen so far assume that the topic of the Yerushalmi was Kinyan Arba Amot. However, some people deny that it has anything to do with it at all, and they think it has to do with a different sugya, which is whether Adam Zochel Chaveiro B'Metzia, whether I can be Kone a lost object, a found object for other people. Now, this is how the Ron and Nedarim understands it, right? Now, how do you get this from this pasuk? Is David is saying, I was acting as a Zoch, I was being Zocha and found objects on behalf of the Beit HaMikdash. Aha! You see that Mordechai can pick up a lost object for Josh because David picked up lost objects for God. Basically the same, right? Now, if that's the case, then it could... Sorry, this is the sheet of the Haggad Mordechai, right? And therefore, now, the Shari Yerushalayim has yet another parish, and he says, no, it proves both things simultaneously. That you can be Kone, whether or not you can be Kone, a lost object for other people, and Kinyan Arba Amot, because maybe he was Kone, the object for other people, through a Kinyan Arba Amot. Whoa, look at that.
This is such a... Wow.
Now, there are obviously yet other Perushim, but I think I've had enough for the moment. Let's move on now that we've seen like six different opposite Perushim on it. So now the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Avin, Ma'u Be'anyi, what is poverty? Here, She'en Ashirut Lifnei Mish Amar V'haya Olam. So he says, no, that's not what Anyi means. It just means that even though I had trillions of dollars, I was poor because my reference point was God. So don't try to, this is a philosophical point. This is not a halachic point that I was poor even though I had a lot of money because of kinyanim or whatever. He's like, no, this is a philosophical point. David was just saying, no matter how much money I have.
That makes a lot more sense.
Right? He's saying, look at all this money. I'm Elon Musk plus Bill Gates plus Warren Buffett plus whatever that guy who owns the other guy who is randomly surpassing them who owns whatever fashion industry. I don't know. Look up all the, that guy. I don't know. Together and we are nothing. Davar acher be'onyi. Other people say, no, it's not my poverty. It's be, right? This is like matzah. Oh. Is it lechem oni? Is it lechem roller? Is be'onyi my affliction? Shahaya mit'ane umagdish adot l'shamayim. Because he would fast. You know, like my great-grandfather. He would fast and give all his, you know, so that he could have guests. David HaMelech did it first, right? He fasted and gave the money he would have used for food to the Beit HaMikdash. In addition to the millions of dollars he didn't eat. The Marafold on the Bnei Moshe and the Gra say, he didn't, like, actually starve himself to death. He just ate less. The Shalah says, no. He literally fasted frequently as part of his tshuva for the sin of Batsheva and gave that money as a kapara to the Beit HaMikdash. Now, based on this, the Shalah sources a tshuva practice, which is that you should, a good way of fasting is to fast and then figure out how much money you would have spent on eating and give that to Staka. It's, you know, okay. So now the Gemara says, going back to Kinyan Arbamot or whatever, Hatir Rav Yaakov Aridi Kume Rav Shimon Ben Lakish. Rav Yaakov asked Rav Shimon Ben Lakish, Vatanina, Roid Amitziv Novel Olav Acher Vichziba, Zech Vichziba Zachaba, that if someone saw a lost object and fell on it, the one, and someone else took it, the one who took it is Kona. Now in the Bavli said this is just a question of Dot, which is, if I fell on it and I had in mind to be Kona through Kinyan Arbamot, it would work. But because I fell on it, that revealed that I didn't know or didn't believe in Kinyan Arba Amot, and that I thought that falling on something was a Maisa Kinyan, but it wasn't, and therefore it didn't work. That's how the Bavli understands it. The Yerushalmi does not understand it that way, because the Yerushalmi says, wait a second, what is going on here? If you think that you're Kona Arba Amot, so why did the first guy who fell on it not be Kona and it's Amar Le Tifshar B'Shalo Amar Yizki Li Arba Amot Shali. So the Yerushalmi passing like the other sheet on the Bavli, which is that Kinyan Arba Amot only works if you couple it with a verbalization. I am being Kona with my Arba Amot, right? It's not just enough to be there. You need to actually verbalize it. And because he didn't verbalize it, that's the other sheet on the Bavli. Now, the Bavli ends up concluding not like this. They don't need Amira and concludes the way I said that it's about Dot, but shockingly, the Rosh Shirley and the Pnei Moshe come up with a way of combining it and saying, no, verbalizing is indication of what you're thinking, and therefore the Bavli and the Yerushalmi are saying the exact same thing. Vahatani, the Gemara says, wait a second, Nafal Ola Perasalit Ola Mavirna Dumimena, that if I put my cloak on it or I fall on it, we take you away. So why doesn't the Kinyan work about Amar Amarlei? Odi b'shalomar yizkili arba amot shali. Again, it must be he didn't verbalize it, and that's why it does it work. Top of lamed vav. Tani rechia shnayim shayim mitkatchin ala omer. Two people that were fighting over an omer vani acher v'chadov milen zachavo. If someone else comes and takes it, he gets it. So why did weren't the first two kone who were fighting on it? Amar lei odi b'shalomar yizkili arba amot. Again, it's a case where they didn't verbalize that he was being Kona through Arba Amot. Um, Though the Pnei Moshe says that this might only be by Metziah, but not by Peah. Maybe by Peah, where there's a special halacha, you would, in fact, be able to be zochen even without Kiloi Dad. Okay, let's stop.